And go Browns. Let's see, which one am I on? This one or this one? I got it. Well, I think I got it. There we go. Well, good morning, Allen Creek. It really is good to be with you. And I bet you're excited to have Pastor and Dr. Adam Metz back with you next Sunday. Before he left, Adam told me that your summer theme is Look Around. And what a great year. I've been walking around and I've noticed that he comes up with these great themes. I'm going to have to take him to lunch and steal all his themes for our sermons in the future. But so I like this theme, looking around. How is a church, no matter how large, how small, part of something bigger than itself? How can we look around in such a way that we can see ourselves as bigger than just the people that come to church in any of our church services? How do we feel? How can we look around in such a way that we feel like we're part of something bigger? I think the answer comes from understanding a little more about this passage that we had read today. I want to read it again, and if you have a Bible you want to follow along, feel free. It's out of John 17, and this chapter is one long prayer of Jesus. And Jesus is praying, and he says this, "My prayer," in verse 20, "my prayer is not for them alone." Who's he talking about? He's talking about his disciples. He'd been praying for his disciples. He says, "My prayer is not just for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me." I want to have us unpack part of this chapter-long prayer of Jesus. But before I do, I want to tell you a little, some more of my story. I gave my heart to Christ when I came to Ohio State in the late 70s. That tells you how old I am. I'm kind of old. And for a few years during my freshman and sophomore year at Ohio State, I lived kind of this double life. I started going to Bible studies, but then I was also in the Ohio State University marching band, and there was a lifestyle there that really wasn't anything like the Bible study lifestyle. And so I lived these two different lives for a couple of years. In my junior year, I realized I was going to have to pick one or the other. I was going to have to go all in one or the other, and that was when I gave more of my heart to Christ. I joined a campus Christian group at the time down at Ohio State, and I just loved the things that I learned there. I learned how to pray. I learned how to study the Bible. I learned how to share my faith. But there was one attitude in that group that was not a good one, and that was that our Christian group did it better than any of the other Christian groups. That if God were to smile down on one, we would say that Jesus would be happy about the way we do it better than the way that other people do it. And as a result, I became a bit of an isolationist, if you will. I really had no desire to become friends with anybody in Campus Crusade for Christ, crew, navigators, fish house, let alone wanting to get to know anybody that went to St. Stephen's Episcopal Church at Woodruffin High or the Catholic Newman Center on campus, or any other denomination. I was a bit of an isolationist. How proud we were back then. Jump ahead with me to 1990, and I had become an associate pastor at a multi-staff church in Worthington. I was one of five pastors. And even though there were other churches around, many of them around in Worthington, and no doubt there were some other associate pastors that had the same specialty that I did. My job was worship and small groups. It never even occurred to me to reach out to get to know them. Why would I? I was one of five pastors in our church that we were close with each other, and what reason was there to reach out and get to know other pastors in the community? I didn't have one, so I didn't do it. Now jump to the year 2000. In the year 2000, my wife and I and our four kids sensed God leading us to daughter a church from the church in Worthington to Lewis Center. The community had my last name, Lewis, and it was a growing community, and so we and 18 other families came to Lewis Center to start this church. We secured Arrowhead Elementary as the place that we would worship, and we rented a small office in a business complex. And a few months in, I, as an extrovert, became very lonely. I was the only one on staff, and back then, we all, the churches, all these new churches in the area, we would send out these direct mail postcards. Maybe you've ever gotten one of those from a church. We were sending them out, and for every one that I designed and sent out to invite people to come to Grace Point, I received about four others from different churches in my own mailbox. And I remember getting these cards in those years and immediately judging these other churches. I thought, man, theirs isn't as good as ours, and that pastor's picture isn't as good as my picture. And I mean, I was just judgmental. And when other people would go visit these other churches, and then they would come to Grace Point, I felt this competition that made me want to downplay those churches and those pastors and to highlight ours. Ours was the best way to do church. Oh boy, did I need a course correction. Then came Pastor Darrell Bell from the Moravian church in town called The Promise. Adam will remember him too. Darrell is retired and, of all places, lives up in the state of Michigan now, and the Promise Church no longer exists. But Darrell saw one of the mailers that Grace Point sent out, and he called the number on the card. He called me, and he asked me to go to lunch. My first thought was, why would I waste my time? But even I wasn't that rude. So I said, sure, I'll meet you for lunch. And when I got there at lunch, I told him that all I had was 45 minutes that the church needed me back at the office. Well, 2.5 hours later, we were still at the restaurant. And I had fallen in love with this man. This man talked about his family and his faith and his church. He was open about his struggles. He asked me about my family, about Grace Point, about the churches that I was involved with, and he praised God for my story. I felt accepted. I felt loved. I felt celebrated. I learned about Moravians, which I had known nothing about before, but now I wanted to read everything I could about a man named Count Zinzendorf. That lunch with that man changed me. Like finding out that I really do like Chinese food and then wanting to hit every Chinese food in the area, I wanted to meet every pastor in every church in Lewis Center. I think it was Darrell Bell who told me once that you can't love what you don't know. You can't love, Terry, what you don't know. So I began looking around, not to leave my traditions, not to abandon my own denomination's values, but to begin accepting other churches and their uniquenesses, other pastors and their passions. And best of all, become friends with these other pastors in the area. I learned the art of being curious without judgment. And so I began to meet pastors of all kinds of traditions, and I wanted them to meet others, one another, and so we formed an informal Olentangy pastors group that to this day gets together about once a quarter. And last spring, Adam hosted us here on a Thursday morning here at Alum Creek, and he gave us a tour, and he told us about some of the unique and special traditions of the Church of Christ. It was fascinating to us. Of course, he pointed out that there were no musical instruments on the stage. And he explained that although no one judges other churches for using instruments, that it brings a simplicity that is refreshing to our church family. And later I asked him what he meant by simplicity. And he said, Terry, in the craziness that is experienced by the folks living in this area, isn't it a good idea to find something in your life to simplify? And I thought, oh, that's good. That is good. Now, I don't see Grace Point giving up its worship band anytime soon, but I wonder how more relaxing it would be to so many people on Sunday morning if they didn't have to set up the band, direct the band, manage the band, fix the band equipment, and all of the above. I remember the day that we as pastors visited All Shepherds Lutheran Church. Have you seen it over there on 23? And we got to know Pastors Craig and Wendy. They gave us a tour, and I asked, why is your pulpit, where the preacher, this is about where I stand, although I don't have this nice fancy wooden one, I got a music stand. And sometimes I get a bar stool, but so they didn't have their lectern like this. They didn't have it in the center like this, like the way we do at Grace Point. They had it way over to the side at the Lutheran Church. And so I asked Pastors Craig and Wendy, I said, why is it at the Lutheran Church? No judgment, but why is it at the Lutheran Church that it's off to the side? And he said, listen, no judgment on any other church, but here, us Lutherans, we would never place the place where we speak, we would never put that in the same place that we remember what the Lord sacrificed for. So in the center of the room, at the very center, is going to be the Lord's Supper, and we're off to the side. And I heard that, and it wasn't audible, but I clearly sensed God saying to my spirit, what place does Jesus have in your worship space, Terry? Oh my. You cannot love what you do not know. Now, I'm not ready to abandon our values. We're not going to probably change a whole lot of things at Grace Point. But I began to look around and began to appreciate what others have. The group was hosted by Life Point Church one morning, and we were all in awe of its size and the amount of people that attended in a warehouse space over at 23 and Orange Road. They were getting ready to start their third and fourth campus locations. And for those who had never met Dean Folks, the lead pastor, I bet they were expecting a driven, full of himself guy ready to tell us all how to do it his way. But Dean is nothing like that. Dean is so humble and so appreciative of every church in the community, we all left cheering LifePoint on to even greater growth. You can't love what you don't know. And even though we don't have a Roman Catholic church in Lewis Center, we have some amazing Catholic neighbors who have opened my eyes to some Catholic traditions that have changed the way that I live my daily life. Do I agree with every Catholic tradition? I do not. But boy, do I appreciate some of their ways. Living next door to Grace Point is this devout Christian, also named Terry. And one time over lunch at Pizza Cabin, that's like my second office, and they just closed it. But the same owners, Preston and Bruce, opened it up again. Now it's called Four Points Pizza, right in front of Worthington Arms. Anyway, that was a side point. One time over lunch at Pizza Cabin, this Catholic guy, Terry, and I, we were talking, and he explained that in his church, in his Catholic church, there's a room that holds the communion elements. And that every hour of every day, 24 hours a day, there is someone at their church who signs up for an hour of what is called adoration. I asked Terry what they do. And he said, well, for him, at 12 midnight on Mondays, he sets aside all the demands of his life, his job, his kids, his money concerns, the future. He sets it all aside, and for an hour he contemplates how his life is changed and better because Jesus gave his body and blood to pay for my sin. Terry told me that, and my jaw just dropped. How centering would it be for me to do that for an hour straight once a week? I asked him if they would let a Protestant pastor have a guest pass to come join, and he continues to tell me he's working on it. You can't love what you do not know. Let's look again at these verses from John's prayer in John 17, Jesus' prayer in John 17. I'm going to say it one more time. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We're reading in the middle of Jesus' longest recorded prayer. And in the beginning of John 17, he prays for himself. He's about to face the cross the next day. And then it moves to a section where he prays for his disciples, that God's power might be on them. But here in verse 20, Jesus goes way beyond the present time, and he prays for those, probably in his mind, is those that are going to be in distant lands and far-off ages who will also become Christians. He's praying for you and me. That in itself is kind of cool. But then notice a few other things, quick things about this prayer. First of all, we see Jesus' confidence and his faith in these few followers, that even though they will soon abandon him the next day, some will even deny that they even knew him, that he believed that they would come around and both live and share the message of the gospel that would create such a ripple effect that Jesus is praying for those that they will influence, even though he knows that they're going to deny him the next day. That this would create a multiplying church effect, that the gospel would go to every corner of the world. Aren't you glad that even though Jesus sees your failures, past, present, and future, that he still believes in you? Here's a second thing to capture from this prayer. We see the focus of the prayer. He prays that these Christians would be one. Now, what does it mean that, what does Jesus mean when he says he's praying that we would all be one? Is he saying that we would all be members of the same church? Is he saying that we should all have the same uniformity in our practices, in our callings, in our passions, in every church? Listen, even in the book of Acts, we already see that there are different churches with different callings and different passions, such as churches that are focusing on those in a Jewish audience, in a Jewish culture, and those in a Gentile culture. You see in the book of Acts, Apostle Paul and Peter coming nose to nose more than once on this topic. So if it's not uniformity, then what is this oneness? And I would suggest to you this morning that Jesus is praying for a unity that comes from personal relationships, a willingness to show love and admiration and celebration to other Christians that attend different churches than yours, with no agenda to recruit them, no agenda to get them to switch churches, no judgment over their traditions and practices, just get to know them. Because you can't love what you don't know. The third thing we see in this prayer is why this unity is so important to Jesus. Because he says, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. From that day until this day, the biggest reason that people don't want to have anything to do with discovering God's love is that those who say that they believe and are in God's family are the ones that are so backbiting and quick to attack one another. Look around. What are we so worried about? Are we worried that people won't learn about the true faith unless we make other churches look bad? In Revelation 2, we won't turn there. I just want to mention this, that Jesus has words for a few churches that have lost their way in the beginning of the book of Revelation. And to the church of Ephesus, Jesus describes them as a church that has worked very hard to not tolerate wicked people. He says to them, you've weeded out and you've called out people that weren't good Christian leaders in the church. You've protected the right beliefs. In these areas, Jesus says, you have not grown weary. But then Jesus says, when it comes to loving one another, consider how far you've fallen. Repent and go back to excelling in love. And you can't love what you don't know. So the next time you meet a neighbor that you learn attends another church, don't just ignore them and say, well, they're not a potential for Alum Creek. Instead, why not ask them more about their story? Ask them more about their church. But that would make me feel unfaithful to my church. Listen, nobody's asking you to abandon or to leave any place. In fact, I hope you don't ever leave this church. But looking around and learning about the bigger Christian community can be beautiful. Be curious without judgment and then celebrate their faith and traditions. You cannot love what you don't know. And there's a lot of other people watching. Friends at Alum Creek, I don't share this with you because in any way do I think you need it called out. The way Adam talks about you, you are some of the most loving Christian people in the community. And getting to meet some of you earlier this morning, I know that's true. But when Adam gave me the topic of looking around, I was hoping that at least between Grace Point and Alum Creek, that our folks would be curious without judgment. Because you can't love what you don't know. And who knows, maybe more churches in the area will follow your example, and thousands of people who are moving into this community in the next few years will one day say, I have never met a community of churches and Christians that speak so well of each other and support each other like the ones in Lewis Center. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the folks in this church. What a light they are to this community. It makes no difference. Our size, I have sensed a great love for each other here in this family. Lord, forgive us, forgive me for the times in my life when I just didn't want to get to know other Christians. I just wanted to stand back and maybe judge them, maybe compare myself for all the wrong reasons. Forgive me of that, Lord. And now, Lord, would you do something special in this community as we look around? Lord, that we would appreciate, we would be curious without judgment, we would celebrate one another, and we would see that we're bigger than just our own family of faith. May you be glorified as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all I got. I don't know what's next. All right.